Welcome to Ate the World, a podcast about food. My name is Rob Lewis. I'm a well-traveled eater and a fearless home cook. On my Instagram page, I have a community of people like me, talented home cooks from around the world that make the dishes that they love for their friends, families, and followers. For the fourth episode, my guest is Fralergisch, a cook from Ticino in the Swiss Alps. A few years ago, she was diagnosed with severe food allergies, which is why she took on the moniker Fralergisch. She launched a website and Instagram page featuring foods that are delicious and safe for her to eat. She also built a list of restaurants in Ticino which can cater to people with food allergies. Our conversation was about her condition and how she uses her platform to help others, local foods from Ticino, and several dishes that we both prepared. Welcome, Fralergisch, to the Ate the World podcast. Well, thank you for doing this. I think this is going to be an interesting conversation.
Yes, it's interesting because I think you do this every day, no? Your podcast, and you can meet many people with phone in the world.
Yes, this was the point. I wanted to get to understand some of the people that I follow on Instagram a little bit more. Because I see what they cook, but I don't really understand why. So this was the purpose of the podcast.
I can say why I cook if you want. My why.
Well, your why is the most interesting why.
My why is because I'm a real, real allergic person. Before, I eat everything. I never have a problem with food. But in one moment of my life, I don't know why. All food is allergic for me. And this was no good.
Everything. When did you notice something was wrong and what specific foods triggered that?
When I hit and I wake up in hospital.
Oh, no.
Ah, yes. For a long, I think, 3 months, every time I eat, I wake up in hospital. I don't know why.
And were you going through, in English, we call it anaphylactic shock. So basically everything swells up. Or did you have, what type of reaction did you have?
Yes, sometimes it's a shock allergic and sometimes I fall down. It's like a sweet coma.
Oh no. So the doctors, what did they tell you?
The first time they think I'm an anorexic person, but I'm not.
And then?
And after, with more examen, they find me allergic of milk, of flour, of mushroom, of fish, many things. I never remember all.
When they gave you the long list, how did you start your path to figuring out what you could eat?
When I saw the list, my first reaction is, oh, wow. What can I eat? I love cooking. Maybe I can cook something original, something different, with the good taste, with the nice, you see, a nice place, no? I try the food I never eat before. You can see on my Instagram.
Yeah, your food is beautiful. Before you had this allergic reaction, before you became an allergic person, what types of foods did you normally eat?
Everything. I was living in France. I live 2 years in the mountain, so every day I eat the cheese. And after I live 3 years in France near the sea, and every time I eat fish, but now I can't. I can't eat cheese. I can't eat fish.
That seems like it's a life-changing experience. When you started your website, what were you thinking in terms of how you approached food, knowing that milk is out, gluten is out, mushrooms, fish, and whatever your ingredients? Where did you start your journey?
For the first time, my mother, she say me, you are a good chef. So for this Christmas, can you cook for everybody? And we were 10 people. So I think, okay. And she say me, Can you cook something you can eat? Okay. It was very hard. It was very difficult. And I call a doctor. His doctor see me. There are many, many, many kind of foods with the same taste of normal food. And I do lasagna. You know, I do a different kind of lasagna. This is my first plate. And after this, on Instagram, all people in the world write me. I am allergic of mushroom. I'm allergic of milk. What can I cook? What can I eat? And then I try to do every day something different. Where the coronavirus be here, I think, why not? I do a website, and the two person of Italian television write me, and I collab with them.
I saw the picture back in September. You posted a picture of your grand classic lasagna, and it's gorgeous. It's absolutely beautiful.
And look, a normal lasagna, no?
Oh, it looks better than most lasagnas that I've ever baked. So let's go through each step. Are you making a gluten-free lasagna pasta sheet, or are you buying that? Or how do you construct something like this?
No, I made all. I don't like buy gluten-free things. I buy this when I'm I don't have time, but no, I prefer do pasta.
Are you allergic to eggs?
No.
Okay. So gluten-free flour plus eggs, and then when you roll out the pasta, does it have the same texture as using a normal flour?
No. No, never. Because in Italian, the name is maglia glutenica. I don't know in English. And when do you work the flour? If it's a normal flour, you find the maglia glutenica, no?
In English, that's gluten mesh.
This is a strong things in the flour. I'm looking for the words for explaining you. When you do pasta with a normal flour, the pasta is perfect. When you do with a gluten-free flour, your pasta can be break.
It can break easily. You don't have the same chew or the same pull.
Yeah, but because the normal flour has maglia glutenica, and the gluten-free flour, she hasn't have this.
So what do you do? How do you adjust for that?
I use bicarbonate. I use bicarbonate.
Oh, so I get it. So bicarbonate would make it more gelatinous.
And the bicarbonate I use for many things, no? When you use yeast, I use bicarbonate. When you made a cake, you need the yeast. When you make a bread, I use bicarbonate.
Are you allergic to yeast?
No, but it's not good for your health.
I see. Going back to the lasagna, so you'll use bicarbonate to get, it becomes almost like a springy noodle, like an Asian noodle, because the flour turns to a bit gelatiny with the bicarbonate.
Yeah.
I see you make a beautiful steak, so there's no problem with meat, right?
No, it's no problem.
What do you do for either a bechamel or for ricotta or the cheese?
For bechamel, it is easy. I do a bechamel without milk and without gluten. It's homemade, but it's 3 minutes for the bechamel.
But your starting point, are you making a roux?
A roux? I don't understand.
Roux is flour and butter that you cook, and then you add milk to make a bechamel.
I explain you. Almonds, you know?
Yes.
Okay. You can do milk with almonds.
Yes, almond milk.
Okay. But at home, no? You don't buy it. You do at your home.
Okay, so you're grinding up almonds with water and straining it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you do the milk. After, you put inside the gluten-free flour.
Yes.
And you do bechamel in this way. A little bit of oil, Italian oil. And you have a good bechamel. The taste is good. Voilà. You see, 3 minutes for do this.
So that gives you a creamy taste because of the almond milk. But the main taste is really the ragu, the meat sauce.
And after you put spice like basilic, mint, oregano, pepper, for change a little bit the taste.
And then you bake it.
Or you can do pasta with broccoli.
That's wonderful.
Flour, broccoli, and epinard. You can do pasta for lasagna. For do a vegan version. Yeah.
That's wonderful. I saw you had made a beautiful bread, and that uses the bicarbonate. In fact, you do a lot of baking. Half of it seems to be sweets. Do you like sweet foods?
A little bit. I prefer salad food.
So, for example, what do you like?
I love parmigiana.
Can you have is parmesan lactose free?
If I made it, yes.
Okay. Now, how do you make your own parmigiana?
You buy or you do a bread without milk, and you put bechamel, voilà, a little bit of tomato sauce. It's better if you do at home. After you put jambon, voilà. After you put aubergines, and you do this for three straight, voilà.
Yes.
After you put Parmigiano Reggiano is a cheese without lactose.
Okay.
You know Parmigiano Reggiano?
Yes.
This is without lactose.
Parmigiano Reggiano, if you buy without lactose, is fine. How about like a lactose-free yogurt?
Lactose-free yogurt is a chemical, but Parmigiano Reggiano is born without lactose.
Okay.
Emmental is born without lactose.
Interesting.
There are cheese without lactose.
You had to learn all of this from nothing, no? That's amazing.
Yeah.
There are two things from your website that seem to come up over and over again. And a lot of it is because of where you're from or where you live now in Ticino.
Ah, it's beautiful Ticino.
So what's special about Herb Ticino?
On my website, you find my hobby. I walk in mountain a lot, and I put everyday photo on my other account on Instagram. And when I walk in the mountain, maybe I meet a farm person. They have a cow, they have all animals, and I speak with them, and I try the best things in Ticino for cooking. Best cheese without lactose, best spice. There are many things. If you walk in the mountain and you know the right person, it's interesting to cook. In Ticino, there are more farms.
I saw that you keep a garden. Were you gardening before you got sick, or is this a new thing?
It's a new thing, this. I say, well, I will try.
How's it going?
Oh, really, really good. It's wonderful.
What did you grow this year?
Tomatoes. Okay. Because in tomatoes, you find nickel, and I'm allergic to nickel. But if you grow your tomato in your garden, there are possible they don't have a lot of nickel.
There is nickel because of the soil or the fertilizer?
It's for the water.
Ah, water. So what do you do for your water? Do you specially filter your water?
No, but if you live in the south of country, the water has a lot of nickel. In the north of country, the water has a little bit of nickel. I live at the north of Italy, in Switzerland. It's the north. I don't have the sea. So the water, when it's raining, is with a little bit of nickel. But if I buy tomato in market, tomato is from Sicilia, there is the sea, and they have a lot of nickel because the water is the problem.
That's so interesting. So tomatoes, I saw you also grow carrots.
Carrot, tomato, aubergines, le courgette, pepper, everything. I try all, but it's the first year.
There was a beautiful picture of, you call it mini pepperoni dolci ribbene. Was that your pepper?
It's nice, huh?
Beautiful.
And you see.
Yeah, very nice.
I do a pasta with tomato, aubergines, a lot of tomatoes. I don't know if you see on my Instagram. And this is all from my garden.
That's great. I also saw that you started to do canning.
Yes.
Is this the first year you tried canning food?
Yes, the first time.
Have you opened up any of the cans yet or not yet?
I don't know for the moment. You know, I'm a little bit crazy. I want to taste everything. So I try to cook everything. So I try to grow in my garden everything. So I'm a crazy person, but I love teach of all allergic person. They can eat everything because it's important, no?
It is. I think what's interesting is that most people, when they have a food blog, they'll talk about their food or their recipes. But you added also restaurants in the region where people can safely eat.
Yeah, because the restaurant is a big, big, big problem.
Did you have conversations with the restaurant manager, or how did you figure out where safe to go, and how did you build this community?
Every time I want to go out to dinner, I have to call 1 week before for say, hello, I'm an allergic person. I can eat this, 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 and this. Can I come in a restaurant? And they say me, yes, but a lot of they say me, no.
So I say, the culture,
it is difficult for
I've
me.
I've been to Switzerland many times, but I've only been to either Zurich or Geneva.
They say me,
and I've been to Milan.
Yes, you can come here. We cook at the moment. Everything we do is fresh, etc., etc. So I think this person, this manager of restaurant, they are a good person. For it's nice to know them at all of the world, no?
What is, in Ticino, what is the culture more like? What's the view of the people as it relates to food?
I think the only country you can find a gourmet food is Italy and France. In Ticino, in Switzerland, German, Spanish, you don't find a really, really gourmet restaurant. Here is in Ticino, traditional restaurant, normal restaurant. It's really harder to find a gourmet restaurant.
Not like Milan, where you could go to a restaurant at 11 at night and it'll be crowded. And
no, no, with a star Michelin. No, in Ticino, no.
No. Okay, but you have the mountains and you have beauty in the nature, but maybe not so much in the restaurants.
No, in Ticino, I think there aren't restaurants with star Michelin. But in Zurigo, I think there is 2. In Lausanne, I think there are 4. There are in Switzerland, but in Ticino is a traditional food.
What's traditional Ticino food?
Selvaggina, you know?
No, what's that?
I translate. Game. Like there, boar, polenta.
Actually, I heard that. I heard it's very famous for polenta. Can you eat polenta?
It's without butter, yeah.
I see. And then things like boar or deer, is that something that you eat?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I know more restaurant here, and when I go, they do me a special plate with this.
At your home, I saw you make a beautiful T-bone steak.
Yeah, it was wonderful, huh?
Well, you've made it several times. One time you've described it as Fiorentina, and the other time you described it as Ticinese. What's the difference? Is there a difference in terms of the two recipes?
Fiorentina is a special cut of cow. Hmm?
I see. So Fiorentina is a cut of cow that in America we would call a porterhouse or a T-bone, where you have one side is the filet and the other side is it a special cow?
No, Fiorentina is the special cut, but T-bone, what you say, yeah, the name is entrecote, bistecca, but not Fiorentina. Fiorentina is a Italian things, like tomahawk, no? Tomahawk, it's a special thing. Okay, and Fiorentina is special from Italy. In France, where I live, I never find the Fiorentina, never. It's a special cut, I don't know why, eh? You can find also in Italy.
Interesting. When you say you make a steak Ticinese or Ticino style, what does that mean?
Because I use the spice of here.
What special spices would you use?
In France, you find Herbe Provenzali, Provenzale herbs, okay?
Yes.
In Ticino, you find Herbe Ticino. Voilà.
Herbes Provenzale is a lavender, fennel, tarragon. Yes, what's herbs Ticino?
Oh, Ticino is stronger. Mint, basilic, oregano, parsley, pepper, and salt. It's a simple, but it's good.
Oh, that sounds nice. And then do you add like a lemon or anything else to make it a bit fresh or tart? If you look at like Greek meat, you may add lemon.
Lemon, okay.
Is that something that you would add?
Yeah, of course. Lemon, but I prefer lime.
I do too. But are there limes in Ticino?
Yeah, we find in the market.
I see.
Maybe the next year I try to grow this in my garden, but I don't know. I can try.
I saw that you have a beautiful lemon balm.
Lemon balm is good for everything. I love. But this is my personal taste. It's not the taste of here.
Together we made a frittelle di patate dolci.
Sì, frittelle di patate dolci.
And it was very good. It was interesting.
It was difficult to do. Oh.
It was easy. So the only hard part for me was... So the recipe is basically a fritter of sweet potatoes. For some of them, I added some mozzarella cheese in the middle. The hardest part, and I knew this was going to be a little bit of a challenge, was that after I boiled the sweet potato, I mashed it, and then I let it set out to cool down because I wanted the boiled sweet potatoes to dry out a little bit. I didn't want to work with a wet, sticky mess. And I found that it was wetter, it had more moisture than I wanted, so I had to add more flour than I expected.
But because the sweet potatoes is a special kind of potato, but they are with low carb.
Yes.
This is a good thing.
Yes. So the next time, I used a Southern USA sweet potato, but if I used a Japanese sweet potato... that had less moisture, I think it would have been, I would have used less flour. But the taste was also different.
You like it, no? When you...
I liked it. What I needed yeah. to do was adjust the amount of salt so that there was a balance between salty and sweet, almost like a sweet potato French fry. I didn't want it to taste... solely like a crunchy sweet potato. So it had to have more salt and savory. And you suggested that I add sage and garlic powder, which I did, which really made a difference. It added a nice smell and a nice taste to it.
And I think you can use this when you have people at your home. You do an aperitif. It's nice. It's easy to do.
Yes. So then I would probably make it a lot smaller. So I'd have more crunch on the outside to soft on the inside. The ones that I made, and I'll post in a day or two, were almost the size of my fist.
Oh, this looks great.
Yeah, it's too big, but I'll learn. So next time it will be better.
Today I do one second version for you I put on my Instagram. I don't know if you...
I saw the pictures you sent me. What's different about this version?
I use integral flour.
Okay. Is integral flour gluten-free?
One off, yes. It's harder to find, but there is. Huh?
That's fine. So integral flour is, it separates, so you use it for like gravy, no?
Yeah. Yes, but I use this with Parmigiano Reggiano. It was good things, I think.
Oh, I can imagine. I would think that the Parmigiano adds a saltiness and it has a nuttiness. So yeah, that would be delicious.
You can try to do this version.
I will.
And I ask you if you want to take a part of crepe challenge.
I want to. So tell me the rules of the crepe challenge.
Okay. Everybody do a crepe. But you can do a sweet crepe or a salad crepe. It's your taste. It's not important. And you do this. You take a photo. You do a post. In the post, you have to tag my name, the name of Jean-Free Chef, is my friend, is the chef of Milan, and Amalo is a restaurant in Lugano. They do crepe every day.
I'm going to make a crepe, and I know exactly what kind of crepe I'm going to make. I guess you must know Ferrero Rocher, right?
Ah, Ferrero Rocher. I can't eat this.
I know, it's so sad. So I'm going to make a crepe with smashed Ferrero Rocher and banana.
Oh,
So that will be my entrance. What type of crepe are you making?
I think I can't make a crepe because the contest is my contest. So for the moment, I can't.
Okay, but I'm going to join the challenge.
If you look on my Instagram, in the tag, you find In Cucina col Mago. You do crepe with potato and mozzarella. It looks great.
One last question. What advice would you give someone who's either recently diagnosed with allergy, or maybe if it's a mother and they find out that their child has an allergy, to start the process, to get to do the right thing, what advice would you give them?
For the first things, this person must know the difference of allergic intolerance and deficit of DNA, because it's three different things.
Allergic, intolerant, and what's the third thing?
A deficit of your DNA.
A DNA deficiency, yes.
And I have everything. But okay. If you are intolerant, this is no problem. For 1 year, 2 years, you don't eat what you can't. And maybe in your life, you can eat again this. If you are allergic, you must keep attention when you eat. And you have with you every day EpiPen. It's a pen can save your life. If you have a deficit, this is really strong because I have with milk a deficit of my DNA. And if you have this, you have to do blood exam, one time of year. Because if it is strong, it's like an allergic person. So you can, it's a risk for your life. For the first things you have to do is the exam of blood, exam of allergic, and exam for intolerance.
It's good to know that you have people like yourself who have this problem, but they view it as a challenge, not just to help yourself, but also to help other people. I think it's wonderful that when you were faced with this challenge, you viewed it as an opportunity to help other people who have the same situation.
It's important, no?
Very important.
I think social is important if you can help somebody. I'm not the girl love take selfie, speak about my life. No, I want to help everybody because it's important. I know how it's harder to be an allergic person. It's not nice.
Well, you're making it easier for people who would have this hardship. And I think you're great for doing that. And I'm glad that you agreed to come on my podcast so we can share the message with other people.
I think you are a good person too.
Thank you.
It's for this, I say, okay.
Thank you so much for being a guest. And thank you for listening to the Eat the World podcast.